The bells of Provener flipped switches in my brain, as if I were one of those poor dogs that Sansa of old would wire up for psychological experiments. First, I felt guilty. Late again. Then my legs and arms ached for the labor of winding the clock. Next would be hunger for the midday meal. Finally, I felt wounded that they had managed to wind the clock without us. "We're going to hold much of the discussion in Orth because many of us don't really speak Fluckish," I announced from my pallet stack podium to the whole group. 17 of Out, 1 Ida, and a roster of Extramuros people that grew and shrank according to their attention span and Jija usage, but averaged about a dozen. "Sir Tulia will translate some of what we say, but a lot of our conversation is going to be about stuff that is of interest only to Avout, so you might want to have your own conversation about logistics, such as lunch." I saw Arcibald nodding. Then I switched to Orth. I was a little slow to get going because I was waiting for someone to point out that I was not actually the leader. But I had called this meeting, and I was standing on the stack of pallets. And I was a tenor. Our leader would have to be a tenor who would be able to speak Fluckish and deal with the Extramuros world. Not that I was an expert on that, but a hundreder would be even more inept. Fra Jad and the hundreders couldn't very well choose which tenor was going to be the leader because they'd never met any of us until a few hours ago. For years, however, all of them had watched me and my team wind the clock, which gave me, Leo, and Arcibald the advantage that our faces were familiar. Jezri, the natural leader, was gone. I had won Arcibald's loyalty by speaking of lunch. Leo was too goofy and weird. So, through no rational process whatsoever, I was the leader, and I had no idea what I was going to say. "We have to divide up among several vehicles," I said, stalling for time. "For now, we'll stick with the same mixed groups of tenors and hundreders that were assigned in the narthex this morning. We'll do that because it's simple," I added, because I could see Fra Wybert, a tenor older than me, getting ready to lodge an objection. "Swap things around later if you want, but each tenor is responsible for making sure his hundreders don't end up stranded in a vehicle with non-Orth speakers." "I think we can all happily accept that responsibility," I said, looking Fra Wybert in the eye. He looked ready to plane me, but decided to back down for reasons I could only guess at. "How will those groups be distributed among vehicles? My sib, Cord, the young woman in the vest with the tools, has offered to take some of us in her fetch. That's a Fluckish word. It is that industrial-looking vehicle that seems like a box on wheels. She wants me and her liaison partner, Rosk, the big man with the long hair, in there with her. Fra Jad and Fra Barb are with me. I have invited Saman of the Eta to join us. I know some of you will object." They were already objecting. "But that's why I'm putting him in the fetch with me."
"It's disrespectful to put an Eta in with a thousander," said Sua Rethlet, another tenor.
"Fra Jad," I said, "I apologize that we are discussing you as if you were not present. It goes without saying that you may choose whichever vehicle you want."
"We are supposed to maintain the discipline during Peregrine," Barb helpfully reminded us.
"Hey, you guys are scaring the extras," I joked, because looking over the heads of my Fras and Sewers, I could see the Extramuros people looking unnerved by our arguing. Tulia translated my last remark. The extras laughed. None of the Avout did. But they did settle down a little.
"Fra Erasmus, if I may," said Arcibald.
I nodded. Arcibald faced Barb, but spoke loudly enough for all to hear.
"We have been given two mutually contradictory instructions. One, the ancient standing order to preserve the discipline during Peregrine. Two, a fresh order to get to San Tredegar by any means necessary. They have not provided us with a sealed train coach or any other such vehicle that might serve as a mobile cloister. It is to be small private vehicles or nothing. And we don't know how to drive. I put it to you that the new order takes precedence over the old and that we must travel in the company of extras. And to travel with an Eta is certainly no worse than that. I say it is better in that the Eta understand the discipline as well as we do."
"Saman's in Cord's fetch with me," I concluded.
before Barb could let fly any of the objections that had been filling his quiver during Archibald's statement. "Frajad's wherever he wants to be."
"I'll travel in the way you have suggested, and make a change if it is not satisfactory," said Frajad.
This silenced the remainder of the 17 for a moment, simply because it was the first time most of them had heard his voice. "That might happen immediately," I told him, "because the first destination of Cord's Fetch will be Bly's Butte, where I will try to find Orlo."